If you could take your seats, please, I think we're ready to start. This, of course, is a very difficult session because you've all been enjoying lunch and sauntering back. The other part of this particular session is the time you usually take a nap after lunch. And what we've done is what I did when I was a federal trial court judge. If I saw any member of the jury nodding off, I gave a signal to my bailiff and they lowered the temperature. And I'm going to impose that upon you today. If anyone starts nodding, it'll get colder in here. But we won't freeze you. We found that peer pressure keeps people awake after it gets cold enough. We're going to be doing something very special here today, this afternoon, with this particular panel. They are not going to give a speech. They have not written anything. They have not been told what we're going to talk about. It's more of an interview in which I interview two great leaders, judicial leaders, about what they do and what they are accomplishing in the area of the theme of the conference. So I wanted to assure you that I have kept...
Yeah. Oh, did it start? Oh, okay.
Mine?
Benim çok iyi arkadaşlarım.
They're still good friends of mine at the end.
Hala benim iyi arkadaşlarım ve hala önümüzdeki 45 dakika boyunca ben onlara soru şeklinde soru soracağım. Ondan sonra size de
What this particular session is designed to do is to take a look at our particular theme for this conference.
Sorularla soracağım ona.
Quite obvious.
Eski hakimlermiş.
Has a lot to do.
Baş hakim mesela Alejandro'nun.
They are not don't have full control over what occurs in the courts or constitutions and statutes, but still in all they do have a lot to do with that area. So we'll
ama görevlerine devam ediyorlar. Onlardan duyacağız.
Issues. I've asked them just to speak as they recall, and so they have no notes and nothing to read to us today. It should be exciting.
Bir şey yok.
Why did we pick these particular people?
Hem biz bunları seçtik. Sağ tarafımda.
Retired Zaki.
Emekli Zaki Azmi.
I met Chief Justice Zaki 2 or 3 years ago at the Conference of Chief Justice of Asia.
Baş hakim, Malezya'nın baş hakimiydi.
We had similar interests and he invited me as a new chief.
Benle, bizimle aynı
about some of the challenges that he
yanlarımız çok.
To have changed. And we've had an exciting tour
together
in which he has done one of the
beraber olmak istedi.
Of any chief
gerçekten.
I've worked with in the last 40 years. He has taken a country that's had terrible problems with backlog and overcome them. And now his commercial court, which is the key court in countries that are developing, is actually up to date. It has virtually no backlog at all. He is a person who takes a look at things, finds better ways of doing it, and has
problemlere bakar.
For him, he will be one of our speakers. The person on my left is
Anthony.
Randerson, who's from New Zealand, and
Zelanda'dan gelmiş bir.
There, he's been a judge for 14 or 15 years.
5 seneden beri hakim.
Stars of New Zealand.
Yeni Zelanda'nın yıldızlarından birisi, meşhur birisi.
Be helpful about him, although New Zealand has their challenges with problems and otherwise.
Bayağı problemler var bazı azınlıklardan dolayı.
The Anglican Church. To take care of parts of the Pacific, so he knows challenges with the islands of the Pacific, an area that most of
adalardaki
and unfortunately take very little time to find out about. So between these two individuals who will be answering,
Akyanlar var ve onlar sorulara cevap verecekler. Zaki Bey ve ayrıca sol tarafında.
Giving you a pretty good coverage of what's going on in.
Aynı sorulara cevap verecekler.
The Pacific Islands. In doing so, we probably will be touching upon things that are happening.
Diğer dünyadaki diğer konuları da belki ele alacağız. Sadece Pasifiklerdeki değil. Ve böylelikle ilk önce şu soruyla başlayacağız.
I noticed in this booklet that was put out this morning. I read it over the noon time.
Bu kitabı okumaya fırsatı oldum.
Survey that was made that Malaysia was mentioned four times, and it was indicated that there that Malaysia has their share of challenges. That being so, Malaysia is an Islamic country, but since World War II, there's been a huge amount of immigration into Malaysia. Pre-World War II, it was just different as night and day from post-World War II. A large, as you go through Malaysia, you see a large society, immigration, bringing it into a pluralistic society from all over Asia where people have entered in. What kinds of problems has this brought?
Problemler. Yani ne bir tür problemler var?
Little community.
Yani ilk önce sadece kendi kendinizeydi. Şimdi daha sonra değişik insanlar geliyor. Nasıl meselelerle şu anda yüzleşiyorsunuz? Yani bunları nasıl çözebiliyorsunuz? Çok teşekkür ederim.
Thank you very much and also thank you very much to the organizers of this symposium for inviting me to speak. I feel extremely honored. Before I answer that question, perhaps if you
permit önce,
few minutes to take
dakika, to Malaysia'nın
how we come to have a pluralistic society.
Böyle bir toplum haline geldiğimizi anlatmak istiyorum.
60% of the population today
60'ı
are Malays who are Muslims.
The other 60'ı Müslüman, diğer %40'ı Budistler, Hindular ve Hristiyanlar da var bunların içinde.
Who are Buddhist, they came
çalışmak için geldiler.
19th century.
And 18. yıllarda geldiler. Hindistanlılar da geldiler. Onlar da ya İngiliz taraflar tarafından Malezya'ya getirildiler.
In 1957.
7 yılında özgürlüğümüze kavuştuğumuzda elbette böyle yani multi
and the strange thing I would like to tell you
yüzleşince çok farklıyız her konuda. Müslümanlar, Çinliler, Budistler ya da Hindistanlar, Hindular. Hindistanlılar arasında
natives of Sabah
şey de var. Hristiyanlar. Ayrıca bir de yerliler var. Ve değişik dillerde konuşuyoruz. Biz değişik yemekler yiyoruz. Değişik kıyafetlerimiz var. Ve her konuda gerçekten farklı insanız.
How many years we have been living?
Beri gerçekten huzurlu şekilde yaşadık.
So, Judge Wallace, the most important difficult challenge that we face are the politicians.
Siyasetçiler için.
The politicians would like to exploit.
Siyasetçiler
their own ends.
Belki kendilerini düşünüyorlar. Siyasetçiler şu anda yok aramızda, onun için konuşabilirim ama şunu diyebilirim ki yani siyasetle uğraşanlar o kadar meşhur değiller ve halk tarafından sevilmiyorlar. Genelde yani çok iyi yaşıyoruz, huzurluyuz. Biliyorum ki yani bazı Malezya'ya gitmiş olanlar da şuna tanıklık olabilir ki biz huzurluyuz. Her şey yolunda gidiyor. Siyaset olaya girince ondan sonra işte problem ortaya çıkıyor. Hakimler olarak her zaman karar vermemiz lazım ki kanun nedir? Biz bu kanunları, kuralları yorumluyoruz. Bunları uygulattırmaya çalışıyoruz. Ama ve bir sürü değişik gruplar var ve siyasetçiler maalesef bunlara burnunu sokuyorlar. Biz hakimler, avukatlar olarak bizim karar vermemiz lazım. Ve en önemli büyük sorunlardan birisi İslam ve İslam'ı Müslüman olmayanlar arasındaki, bundan sonra bazıları Müslümanlıktan değişenler arasında. Bunlar meseleler oluyor. Bunları nasıl acaba çözebiliriz? Ondan sonra mesela bir dinden başka bir dine değişim yapılınca, yani nasıl olduğunu her zaman karar vermek zorunda. Ama Müslümanlar olmayanlar arasında. Müslümanlar değişik yerlere gidiyorlar.
Family affairs of the Muslim.
Aileyle alakası var. Eğer Müslüman olmayanlar da buraya giderse, ondan sonra problemler çıkıyor. Ondan sonra mesela bir baba farklı, bir anne farklı dinden. O zaman ikisi arasında acaba hangi mahkemeye gitmeleri lazım? Çünkü bir Müslüman mahkemesi var, bir Müslüman. Bence yani çok önemli olmayan problemler var. Az problemler var.
That's my introduction.
I think that's very good. And I think it's important to keep care in mind that Malaysia is substantially different. It has not become a melting pot.
Yani
maintain their traditions.
Yani bu halk kendi şeyleri var, özellikleri.
Is somewhat different from
Malaysia, diğerlerinden farklı bir ülke.
They have lost their identity they brought.
Yani gidip
identity.
Genelde yani bir genel bir kişilik var.
I think people don't really get the idea when we say Pacific Islands. We're talking big. Maybe you could show them a little bit. You brought something along there that maybe you could show them a little bit about what we're talking about when we see Pacific Islands. Could somebody turn the light off over there, please? Yeah, that one's fine. Good. Thank you. There we are.
Okay, well, before I just talk briefly about this map, may I say how honored and privileged I am to be invited to come here. For a small country like New Zealand, which is a long way away, this is a unique opportunity for us to be exposed to so many different nations around the world and to learn from all of you. But I hope that I might be able to give you a little bit of information about New Zealand and some of the Pacific Islands. And I'm going to start by actually explaining where the Pacific Islands are. Because if one looks at the maps that were produced to us by Dr. Grimm this morning, we see a tiny sliver of New Zealand on one corner, but the Pacific Islands were completely excluded. Now, I know a lot of it's water, but there are also a lot of people who live on these islands. So if I could just briefly explain, most of you will have heard of Australia, and many will have actually been there. New Zealand is not part of Australia, it's a completely separate nation, and it's these two little islands here, the North Island and the South Island, very creatively named. And just to mention some of the places that I'm going to be possibly talking about, Fiji is a group of islands there, Tonga is there, American Samoa and Samoa itself there. Tuvalu is there, and the Solomon Islands are there, and Vanuatu is there. And this is Papua New Guinea, which is one of the most populous of the Pacific Island nations, about 6 million. Australia, I think, getting up to about 20, and New Zealand about 4 million. So you can see that there's a massive amount of water here, but many, many islands. Those from the United States will probably be familiar with Micronesia, which is this upper area north of the equator, Federated States of Micronesia, Marshall Islands, and so on. Melanesia is generally regarded as this area here, and then Polynesia, that area there. So those are the three main cultural areas. So that forms the backdrop of what we will be talking about in part this afternoon. I'll just unblank that. Is that gone?
Okay. See what I mean by big? Now, one of the things we want to talk about, what's happened to the islands?
Şunu sormak istiyorum ki, bu adalara ne oldu acaba? Yani,
growth is concerned, the people.
Büyümeleri, yani son 10 senede neler oluyor, neler değişti?
Their culture and
yani kültürel olarak insanların hayat tarzları nasıl değişti? Ne farklılıklar var?
First of all, there are major difficulties, as there always have been, with communication and travel. Simply getting from one island to another is a difficult, time-consuming and expensive exercise. Communications electronically are very backward as well in the Pacific Island nations, and I'm excluding Australia and New Zealand from this, but I regularly travel to the Pacific Islands. I visit the judges there, as well as church organisations, and I'm well aware of the difficulties that they labour under in those respects. But in terms of social cohesion, I think it's fair to say that the Pacific Islands, generally, some nations are more stable than others, but many of them are actually quite unstable from a security point of view, frequent changes of government, and for example in Fiji at the moment there is there has been a military coup and a government by decree who sacked all the judges and has imposed very authoritarian rule, including raising some difficulties for at least some of the churches in Fiji, and I could name a number of other Pacific Island states which have similar security issues. Great poverty and an emerging issue is the interface between human rights norms that are internationally recognized and custom. And very often there is a real clash between custom and international norms, and some of the constitutional provisions that have been adopted and have attempted to merge somehow these two often conflicting forces are interesting, and I can go into some detail if it's at a later stage.
One of the things that we've been talking about here at the conference is what changed pluralism has, and we just assume that there's been.
Biz bu konferansta her zaman konuştuğumuz değişik milletlerin nasıl beraber yaşadığı temasını ele aldık.
Homogeneous.
I think.
Birbirinden ayrılır şekilde mi yoksa?
There are a number of people from other nations, Australia and New Zealand, United States and Britain, who help in various ways in the island, but they're only as mentors or helping in one way or another. And by and large, the Pacific Islands haven't suffered or had to deal with the concept of pluralism and big influxes of people coming in from the outside.
Good. Chief Justice Zaki, you mentioned that that the people, although
Zaki Bey, siz bir şeyden bahsettiniz. Yani homojen bir toplum.
Except for the politicians.
Politik siyasetçilerden bahsettiniz. Ben bu kitabınızı okurken
Malezya
ben bahsedildi, bir ülkelerden bahsedildi burada.
On religious freedom.
Kısıtlamalar var. Kısıtlamalar olduğundan bahsediyor.
Discussion of what that kind of restrictions have been
and how kısıtlamalar var. Nasıl bir da nasıl etkiliyor böyle dinsel kısıtlamalar?
Rights for freedom of religion. Each person can practice his own religion. There is some restrictions involved. And one of the restrictions is among the Muslims, you are not supposed to propagate other religion among the Muslims. there is a restriction. The Constitution recognized that. And looking at the circumstances today, you may think that it maybe is not a good provision. But you must go back to 1957, when we got our independence in 1957. So one of the conditions that the Malays, the Muslims, the rulers of, I say rulers in Malaysia, because we got 9 sultanates. The country with the largest number of monarchs in one country.
Saltanat geçirmişler. Çok fazla bir saltanattan geçmişiz.
Conditions that they wanted was the non-Muslim are not to propagate
olmayanlar
within the Muslims or to the Muslims.
Onlar içinde yaşıyorlardı.
By the constitution. And then comes the issue of what was that you asked us now?
The restrictions that are placed upon religious.
Kısıtlamalardan bahseder misin?
One restriction that that is placed into.
Yani da yapmak yani yasak.
Because marriage is part of family law, and that.
Evlilik ailenin bir parçası.
In Malaysia, you don't get a non-Muslim marrying a Muslim.
Olmayan Müslümanla evlenirse problem oluyor.
Will have to be converted to become a Muslim before they can get married.
That Müslüman olmayan Müslüman olması gerek.
Which goes
evlenmeden önce ki evlenebilsinler.
Unlike in certain countries, doesn't matter what religion you are, you can get. Whereas non-Muslims, marriage is governed by the civil law.
Olmayanlar,
can get married among themselves. Buddhists themselves, Christians.
Yasalara göre evlenebiliyorlar.
Among themselves, but to
evet.
A man or a woman of any religion can.
Erkek kadın fark etmez.
The law.
Bu kanlar altında evlenebiliyorlar. Resmi nikah var, bir de imam nikahı var. Onun farkını anlatmaya çalışıyor. Eğer imam nikah kılırsan tabii ki Müslüman olman lazım.
Was inheritance among the Muslim, they go to the Sharia court, the Muslim court.
Onlar imamın
şeriata uyuyorlar.
Şeriata uyuyorlar. Ha.
And I don't know, have I answered your question, Josh?
You did. Are there any major restrictions on practice?
Benim sormak istediğim böyle kısıtlamalar var mı? Büyük kısıtlamalar. Mesela yani gidip dini
they're free.
Ya misyonerlik görevi başkalarına öğretmek.
Notice a lot of
ben şunu farkına vardım ki Budistler ve Hindular bu Budistler Hinduların Hristiyan olduklarını gördüm.
Record for that, but I suspect they're more Hindus and.
Ben tam olarak rakamları bilmiyorum ama Hristiyan olanlar daha fazla.
Get themselves baptized and.
Hindular ve Budistler vaftiz olup Hristiyan dinine değiştirdiklerini gördüm.
Non-Muslims.
Devlet o enteresan tarafı devlet diyor ki. Cesaretlendiriyor yani Müslüman olmayanları Müslüman olsun diye cesaretlendiriyor.
Teşvik
ediyor.
But how many whether there are more people becoming Muslims?
Bilmiyoruz ne kadar Müslüman olmayanlar Müslüman oluyorlar ya da Hristiyan oluyorlar. Benim bu sadece düşüncem tam emin değilim neyin olduğunu.
On this, you were mentioning again the question from this book.
Yes. Ayrıca bu kitaptan bahsediyordunuz.
Set by this book is the
bahsettiğim kısıtlamalar.
Expansion in the different of the Muslim sect. This morning it was mentioned also that they don't allow a new sect called the Ahmadiyah. Ahmadiyah sect. To
tarikat. Ahmadiyya tarikat.
To propagate the religion.
Kitapta bir tarikattan bahsediyor.
inflation also increased substantially, like Egypt already had high inflation. Although the country's constitution recognized freedom of religion, Malaysia restricts the observance of Islamic beliefs and practices that do not conform to the Sunni Islam. Indeed, Malaysian government, more than 50 Muslim groups get considered unauthorized, including the Ahmadiyya movement. That is
rağmen
department.
İslamiyet yasaları orada geçerli, İslamiyet kuralları.
By the religious department. And religion, Islam fall within the jurisdiction of the state and not the federal jurisdiction. Laws relating to Islam are passed by the individual states. Other civil laws are passed by parliament. So the restriction here, I think, is
departmanlar altında yani.
Muslim within the Muslim within Islam, the people who are Muslims, you know, not so much non-Muslims. There's no restriction for non-Muslim to change the religion and think there's no restriction there.
Are there any
var bu Müslüman olmayanlar için pek bir şey yok yani hiç ilgilen bak hani dikkat bile vermiyorlar yani.
Yes, Muslim being the religion, the constitution provides that Islam shall be the religion of the federation. That's what the constitution says. So funding of setting up construction of mosques is supported by the government. But in practice today, the government today also provides fund to assist the construction of other places of worship, temple, churches. They give some contribution, but most of the money comes from donations within the community.
What do we have?
Bağışlar tarafından para sağlanıyormuş. Devlet para sağlamıyor.
Samoa, where has a tendency to restrict religion, and the Maldives also was mentioned in the book as being.
Maldivlerden bahsediyor. Maldivlere karşı bir.
As far as increasing restrictions.
I'm not aware of any increased.
Çok emin değilim. Kısıtlamalar olduğunu bu halka karşı.
Pacific, I'm not aware of the position in the Maldives.
Olarak farkında değilim bu Pasifiklerde olan olay.
Aware that some of the constitutions
as anayasalar ya da
Pacific Island territories
adalardaki aslında
restricts practice of religion in various ways.
Çeşitli şekillerde kısıtlamalar getiriyor. Island adasında
new religion other than the four currently approved.
4 tane o din varmış kabul edilen ve onun dışında bu 4 din dışında bir tane daha din kabul etmiyorlarmış.
Which is quite an extraordinary provision it seems to me.
Al kanun.
There are other
bazı zorluklar da geçmiş
as well because although almost all the Pacific Island countries except I think Niue has freedom of religion as part of its constitutional.
Bu yani din özgürlüğü yasalarında var.
Right. They include provisions such as that rights and freedoms of religion are preserved so long as.
Din hakkı ve özgürlüğünü bahsediyorlar. Aynı zamanda
safety, order, morals, general welfare
ahlaki görüler ve
of, for example the Cook Islands is protected. You've got some very heavy qualifications to what would otherwise be a general right qualified I think in most western countries by far fewer exceptions than occur.
For example, nerede daha az Yeni Zelanda mesela daha az kısıtlamalar var.
Is subject only to such reasonable limits as are prescribed by law and can be demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. And I think that's a fairly standard sort of protection or carve out from that particular right. But when you get issues such as morals, general welfare, and security of a nation as carve-outs from the right to freedom of religion, you're starting to diminish the scope of the right very substantially to the point where it might disappear altogether.
It's one of these freedom of religion is guaranteed except.
Yes, right.
And it's the except part we have to worry about.
It is.
So in... For example, freedom of religion is guaranteed except that the Matai in a particular village may restrict religion.
Yes, well, that's true. I'm not totally familiar with the Samoa situation, but I am well aware of the Matai or Matai system there, which is essentially chiefs operating in their local village. That is very common right across the Pacific, and is one of the most difficult areas of interface that I mentioned earlier between custom on the one hand and international human rights on the other, because village life is very much integral to the way the society works in most Pacific islands, and many disputes are resolved not by the courts, but by the local chief or Matai, depending on the title in the particular area. And the laws or rules that are applied by the local chiefs may have absolutely nothing to do with human rights norms, and in fact may be completely contrary to them. So it's a very entrenched system, and one can understand, talking about politicians, why the politicians are nervous about having across the board human rights that are very difficult from a practical point of view to sell to the people, or worse, to actually get the people to implement.
You were mentioning earlier about the customary law, and religious rights, of course, may be guaranteed in the Constitution or statutes, but in areas of the island jurisdictions, there isn't the local policeman walking around the block. There's a village
polis
by customary law.
Polis nasıl yani kontrol edebiliyor işte bu kabiledeki olayları falan nasıl olabiliyor?
In the remote areas.
Yani lokal ve uluslararası kurallara göre nasıl bu takip edilebiliyor?
Extremely difficult question.
Gerçekten çok zor bir soru.
And very often they don't even get
aslında
the court system. They are settled on the spot in the local village. Often
köyler gerçekten çok zor bir
in Western terms or international human rights terms, for example,
uluslararası hakları
that in Vanuatu
almak çok zor oluyor.
A woman is raped, that she is pilloried by the local community, and yet if there were a charge, criminal charge brought in the regular courts, the law that would be applied would be similar to what we would expect in Western society, that the law would be there to protect that woman. Similarly with the rights of women generally, the men generally have a very dominant part in the culture of many Pacific islands. And again, that's
Abi kültürden dolayı yani hangi kanuna göre yargılanacağı bir sorusu vardı diyor.
Thank you. Chief Justice Zaki, we've talked about changes in Malaysia. They're almost like a tsunami coming in. There's so many changes that every time you go back to Malaysia, there's massive changes, and I suppose that's true of society too. Now, you're in a position, you don't have many gray hairs yet, but you're in a position now to know a little bit about what happened and sort of look to the future. As you see the changes that are continuing on in Malaysia, with a pluralistic society, what do you see as the major changes that are going to come that Malaysia will have to deal with in the religion area?
I cannot really foresee any major changes of what's being as far as religion is concerned in Malaysia, I think, because I foresee the Malays, the Muslims, will continue the way it goes. And I must express something. This is my personal view, you know. I wish, for the sake of society, for the sake of people improving the relationship with each other, the Islamic religion has a lot of restrictions. We don't drink. We don't eat pork. As I said, you cannot marry a non-Muslim. Whereas the other category, the non-Muslims, they are free. They drink. They eat pork. And so I think the non-Muslim community can get along closer with each other, and getting the Muslims to get together with the non-Muslims, in my personal view, is going to be a bit difficult. My wife is there. She covers her head. She's Muslim. But the non-Muslims goes around without a head cover. So there is, but that is required by our religion. You cannot avoid it. I cannot avoid, but to follow the religion. The religion prohibits us from doing something, and we think that is the right thing. So we comply with our religion. So for the future, I think this thing will go on as far as Malaysia is concerned. I cannot speak for other places, but as far as Malaysia is concerned. And the proportion of Muslims in Malaysia as against non-Muslim is 60-40%. Unlike Indonesia, I think that the proportion is something like 90% Muslim and 10% non-Muslim. And in Brunei, they have something like 95%, 90% Muslim as well. Singapore has only 15% Muslim. I don't know about the other countries. Saudi Arabia is almost 100% Muslim. So, to some extent, this is my personal view. Many people don't agree with me. To some extent, that becomes a divisive factor between one group of people and the other. I would like the Malaysians to get closer, you know, to be one race, you know, instead of having this division. I wish, yeah, I'm given the opportunity to make a ruling, I would like that. But we cannot do that as far as Malaysian. Yeah. But apart from that, we live happily. We visit each other. We celebrate Christmas together. In Malaysia, I don't know, Judge, whether you have been. We have what this practice called open house. After they eat for 1 month, each family will invite friends to the house. And I have, last gathering, I have about 700 people coming to the house for the day.
I'm sure açık evdenin.
Come and say
davet etmiş kendisi.
We have Chinese, Indians, Muslim, Christians.
Gelenlerin arasında Çinliler, yani bir sürü.
We do the same.
Onlar gelmiş. Normal zamanda da aynı şey yapıyoruz.
Hindus, and then the Chinese New Year, we visit the. Otherwise, we live together very, very, very well. You know, I can safely walk on the feel that I can walk on the streets along the Chinatown. I feel very safe. The Chinese businessman doing business in the Muslim community, he feels very, very safe. You know, now and then there's a spark of a small group of youngsters fighting, then it becomes an issue, but normally we suppress that very quickly. The only bad one we had, again, politically motivated, was in 1969, when there was supposed to be a racial riot between the Muslim and the Chinese. But we have managed to take care of that, and it's you know, quite well. So, but today, I think we live peacefully together, and I foresee this will go on for whatever number of years to come. We will continue that, I think.
It's very interesting that you're talking about one of the effects.
Interesan sizin dedikleriniz. Öyle bir değişik milletler yaşıyor ki.
Were the natives there to maintain their?
Yerliler var işin içinde.
Talking about that too.
Orman inancından bahsediyorduk.
Bringing them together also presents.
Beraber bunları bir getirebiliyorsunuz.
But you see it, if they can be homogenized and still keep their faith.
Homojen bir hale getirin.
Happy, the happiest man, I think.
Yeah,
that was. Dünyanın en mutlu insanı olurdum eğer bunları yapabilseydik.
A Malay community, essentially Malay community. The Portuguese came in 1511, settled.
Geldi 1500 yıllarında.
1620 and settled.
Atlılar geldi.
The British came in 1769, I think, and brought in the Chinese from China and the Indians from India.
Çinlileri getirmişler. Çinliler burada çalışmışlar, çalıştırmışlar.
Plantation. So that became.
Her pancarlarında çalıştırmışlar.
Natives of Sabah and Sarawak.
Pancarlarında çalıştırmışlar.
To our flight to Sabah and Sarawak, there are natives there. And then,
ama hala yerliler de var.
They're also Muslims among the natives.
Ve bu yerliler belki de yani değişik şekillerde oluyorlar.
I think I will say that we live peacefully. As I said to, I can walk on the streets of Kuala Lumpur without
yani,
worrying.
Sokaklarda dolaşırken yani rahatlıkla dolaşabiliyorum yani bu örnek gösterdiği bir
American cities.
Sokaklarda çok rahatım diyor. Eğer Çin mahallesinde olayım, başka mahallede olayım.
The Pacific, as these challenges continue.
Adalardaki meseleler, zorluklar.
Change that will come in the islands.
Zorluklar oluyor, ne meseleler çıkıyor.
Yes, I think that in general terms, the Pacific Island nations tend to be very conservative in their ways, and change comes very, very slowly, by and large. And I can say, for example, that Solomon Islands, which is about 30% of the population in the Solomon Islands,
Solomon Adaları.
Yes, to the Anglican faith, that we've had great difficulty, for example, in getting change so that women can become clergy. And the efforts that I've been making with the Archbishop there over the last 10 years have been completely negative, that there's simply no willingness at all to consider change. That's just an example of one area where what I've been speaking about, the reluctance to accept change, and I think it is going to, and I know it has come to blows in some areas, and I can talk a little bit about a case from Tuvalu, which is a very small Pacific Island state, and recently there has been a case that's been wending its way through the court system involving a group of exclusive brethren who were wishing to set up a church on a small island in Tuvalu. They were attacked as a result of a decree by the village elders, including stoning, and ultimately they were banned.
Dahil yani local gibi bir şey çıkarmışlar.
Elders, they took the case to the lower court in Tuvalu, And the constitution there is another one of these constitutions where it might be said, we have an expression in New Zealand, it's a Clayton's constitution. It's the sort of constitution you have when you're not having a constitution, because it says the freedom for religion is protected, but that right may be restricted where necessary if the exercise of the right may be divisive, unsettling, or offensive to the people, or may directly threaten Tuvaluan values or culture. Now, I don't think I've ever seen a wider exception clause to an international norm. But the first court, the trial court, found that the exception did apply and there was no infringement of the right to freedom of religion. That case then went to the Tuvalu Court of Appeal, which I think is the first time in history that it's ever been assembled. But it comprised three retired judges from my country, New Zealand, who went up to the Pacific Islands in Tuvalu and conducted a hearing. Some of these hearings are quite interesting, by the way, for judges, because they tend to have chickens, pigs, running through what is just a shelter overhead with no sides. So you have to be prepared for anything as a judge when you go up to the Pacific Islands. But anyway, these New Zealand judges are divided.
Aklanmış herhalde galiba bazıları.
The banning of the Brethren, Exclusive Brethren Church on this island. One said that it was all right because it was going to cause so much upset in society and the people would be so offended by this other church coming in that it was within the constitution, within the exception that I mentioned. The other two, forming the majority, said no, that in the particular case, social cohesion should not trump the right to freedom of religion. So that's the outcome so far, but I think there might be another chapter to this story, because there is a right of appeal to the Privy Council in England, and I understand that that right may well be exercised. So we may yet hear from their lordships in Downing Street in London as to what the law and proper interpretation of the Tuvalu Constitution should be in this particular case. So I think that might make some law that the European Court might be interested in.
They're interested in anything. Tuvalu.
Can I add in something?
Yes.
Before I receive the new and next question, I'd like to mention, which I did not, that
27
million, and our government is made up of people from every race and religion.
Sam diyor, yani bizim mecliste çok değişik din ve kültürden.
Don't eat beef.
Var mesela et yemiyorlar. Müslümanlar domuz eti yemiyorlar. Ben Hindu gelince bir misafirim olunca
beef.
Ben
if the group is a big group,
yani et yemiyoruz.
Is set aside as mark as beef.
Dikkat ediyoruz bu gibi şeylere. Kimin et, kimin domuz eti yemediği.
Invite me to their house for a meal. They make sure they don't have.
Böyle farklılıkları dikkate almaya çalışıyoruz. Hem alemde hem de meclisimizde.
Sorry.
I want to turn to the court now.
Yes.
What do you think the role of the court should be in Malaysia in this change that's coming in with a pluralistic society, which probably, as you indicate, will continue? There'll be additional change challenges that will occur. As far as protecting religion.
Zorluklar olacak. Hani bu dinsel özellikle hakları koruma konusunda.
Do you see a role for the courts of Malaysia in protecting those religious rights?
It's guaranteed by the constitution, and
from
from the disputes between the Muslim marriages and non-Muslim or Muslim
olmayanların evliliği
subsequently become a non-Muslim after after marriage and after
deniyorlar ondan sonra Müslüman olmuyorlar ondan sonra çocukları oluyor çocukları hangi dinde olacak büyük problemler
civil courts over this issue. The issue that is that is before us is, as I mentioned earlier, instances where parents, Muslim parents, after a while, or one of the parents decided to become a non-Muslim, and then they quarrel over the status of the children. Who gets custody of the children? That is the issue that is been coming up. And essentially, the civil courts have ruled that that is within the jurisdiction of the Sharia court to decide. Don't argue with me whether that's right or wrong, but that is the law, and we apply the law as judges.
Tam kanunlarına göre ondan sonra karar veriliyor. Sanki iki tane şey ya, Müslüman ve Müslüman olmayan.
I wondered whether the courts would be taking a stronger role in the future as pluralistic societies continue, perhaps decreasing the role of what happens in customary courts. Is that feasible?
I think it's a long way away. I think it will happen over time, but the sheer logistics of getting cases to court in the Pacific Islands makes that rather difficult.
Yani mümkün değil.
Some very sound judges in the Pacific Islands, but they're very few in number. For example, in Solomon.
Yargıçlar falan var ama yani çok çok.
Probably best in terms of the judiciary, the High Court there has, I think it's five judges. They have something like 300 islands. That form the Solomon Islands group. The five judges are on the main island, which is Guadalcanal, which I know those who are from the United
States
are familiar with, because in the Second World War, many American lives were lost in the Battle of the Coral Sea in that area. So the judges are there on Guadalcanal. The people are spread across all these islands. So inevitably, from a logistical point of view, most disputes are settled in the villages. There are magistrates.
Genelde kendi aralarında bunu çözüyorlar.
And some of whom are not, who do fan out amongst the islands, but it's very unlikely that they would be.
Olmayan insan, yani ne bileyim insanlar arasında.
Deal with the kind of heady issues we know the European Court of Human Rights is dealing with. So I think the short answer is that it's very difficult.
Well, sorunuza çok zor olacak. Yani çok zor bunu aşması yani.
Tuvalu. They may be few and far between, but the judges are there and the system is set up to deal with it. And recently there's been some very
hani çalışan
by the Law Commission in New Zealand, which is a government-appointed body that does research into law reform, and a major topic has been the clash of custom and human rights in the Pacific Islands areas. And they've come up with some very good solutions about how some of these conflicts that I've been talking about, which include religion but go much further than that into all sorts of social areas, can be reconciled.